You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Buck back with you. Buck, I was debating on this because we both listen to a bunch of podcasts. I think that I'm the only one left who introduces the people at the top of the podcast. Do I need to stop doing that? Do I need to just say, hey, what's up, and then get started? I mean, How many years have we been doing this for over a decade? I realized I'm the only person. I think they know if they're listening to Move the Sticks who we are, what we're doing.
Yeah, but it's such a hang that like you kind of feel compelled that maybe we have new listeners. Maybe this is the first time that someone is listening in and we're trying to keep them so they know who the voices are. Like, hey, okay, this name goes with this voice, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Or if you're watching on video, you just make sure. Yeah, I mean, I think you still should probably just like from a professional.
What if I just say, hey, what's up? We're back with you. Buck, what's going on? Then they immediately know the next voice is Bucky, the previous one.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's tagged. I mean, we can experiment with a couple of different openings and just kind of see what the people like.
Yeah, maybe get some feedback on Twitter on that. Let us know if I just feel like I'm the only one left. I'm like, what am I doing? I gotta stop doing this. Today we've got a fun one. We're going to go through some of the shakeup that's happened around the league over the weekend. Mm-hmm. What a fun weekend with NFL news breaking. And then latest mock draft, which I posted on social that I was debating chaos. And Buck, that's the route that I went. So we'll get into the mock draft
chaos
in just a moment. But hey, Fields, thoughts?
DJ, I'm going to say this. And, you know, here's the thing, right? Before we even talk about the Fields thing, and maybe I'm too into social media, everything has become either love or hate.
Oh, yeah. There's no middle ground, no nuance.
There's no middle ground. There's no nuance. There's no, I would say, maybe an understanding of why this move could be what it is. For me, I would say from the Pittsburgh Steelers side, man, it doesn't get any better than this. You give up a conditional 6th-round pick in 2025 to get a first-round talent. Regardless of what we think about him as a player, he's regarded as a first-round talent. Ron Wolf used to say, Al Davis used to say this, if someone is drafted in the first round, you owe it to the organization to kick the tires because maybe a change of scenery, a new coaching staff, a new voice can unlock the talent that pretty much everyone would universally say was worthy of being in the first round. For him to go to Pittsburgh at the cost to be able to put him in a situation where he sits behind Russell Wilson, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is a year to see and imagine what he could be. Mm-hmm. What could he be as maybe the heir apparent to Russell Wilson there? If you like it, then you find a way to continue on with it. If you don't, it doesn't cost you anything. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have been able to do, and I think we've talked about this, they've been able to stockpile their quarterback room with similar athletes with similar games. Their offense never has to change depending on if QB1 is in or QB2 is in. From a system standpoint, I believe this is the perfect system, not only for Russell Wilson, but for Justin Fields. One that is ground dependent. We're going to run the football. We're going to play action. We have playmakers on the perimeter where we push it down the field, and then we're going to lean on our defense. I would say for both of those guys, pitch count needs to be 35 or fewer. If we're playing the style of game that we want to play, 35 or fewer pass attempts. To me, for the Steelers, it's a nice move because it has the potential to solve an issue down the line that they're going to have to address in the draft anyway once they determine that Kenny Pickett wasn't their guy.
Yeah, I love it from the Steelers side of things. To me, I think let's look at it through Russell Wilson's lens. I think it's a great combination where he has a team that believes in him, right? They mm-hmm. they wanted him. They named him the starter. They brought him in. They're going to let him be himself. So you've got the confidence in knowing they do believe in me. They brought me here for a reason, mm-hmm. right? So you've got that. But now I also have somebody pushing me, you know, hey, that being said, yeah. I know that I'm their guy. I know they want me to take this thing and run with it this year, but I got to be ready to go. I got to show up in shape. I got to show up ready to roll. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to resurrect my legacy. And now I got to fend off a young first round pick behind me. Mm-hmm. I think there's motivation there in a lot of different forms for Russell Wilson to show up and be ready to roll. I think that's a good thing from that standpoint from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And I know, I think a Cowherd or somebody had said, you know, if I'm Justin Fields, I would have wanted to go somewhere with more of an offensive identity to help me out. And I'm like, I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think Justin Fields, the style in which he plays, he's 3 years in the league. He is, to some degree, established.
He is what he is.
What he is.
He is what he is.
And he fits, his game fits better with a run game and a defensive-minded coach, and then let him go make plays. I don't think, Shanahan experimented. He drafted Trey Lance, and he was like, I'm going to change what I do. And then he said, why? I've been successful doing it this one way. Why am mm-hmm. I trying to do it a different way? I just get a point guard back there, and we'll just pitch it all over the yard. I don't think Fields going to one of those guys would have been the right move.
So I think, and I stole this from you because we had this conversation. We talked about what is always won in Pittsburgh, going all mm-hmm. the way back to yesteryear with Ben Roethlisberger, whatever. Mm-hmm. It has always been defense, running game, quarterback magic. Now, yep. the magic that we talk about, going back to Ben Roethlisberger, that magic was extending plays, making things happen out of the structure of the offense. It was only when Ben Roethlisberger became an older player and lost some of the athleticism did he become more of an on-time rhythm player.
Yeah.
But the recipe for the Steelers from way back has been defense, run game, quarterback magic. Well, Russell Wilson, quarterback magic, 39 game-winning drives, 31 fourth-quarter comebacks. The magic for Russell Wilson is if the game is hanging in the balance in the last 2 minutes, Russell Wilson knows how to close out the deal. Mm-hmm. The magic for Justin Fields is the improvisational stuff that he brings, the run stuff. Say what you want about Justin Fields, and this is why I can't say that he's a bust. You don't rush for 22, almost 2,300 yards, have a 1,000-yard rushing season, and consider that quarterback to be a throwaway. Yes, mm-hmm. it's a passing league, but we have seen teams win with a quarterback and run. Look no further than the rival, the Baltimore Ravens, when Lamar Jackson jumped in as the quarterback and ran the Ravens into the postseason. So there's a blueprint that the Pittsburgh Steelers can follow. If Justin Fields has limitations in the passing game, that you can't correct. He can run it during his prime to help them. So for me, it makes perfect sense because it fits the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It works. And the last thing I will say, this, two things. One, when Justin Fields was interviewed shortly after being drafted by the Chicago Bears, they asked him, who did you pattern your game after? He said, when I was a younger player, I used to pattern my game after Cam Newton. As I gotten older, I think my game falls in line with Russell Wilson.
There you go.
Ding dong. So yeah. every day I now get to bring a quarterback who gets a chance to look at his muse. He gets to look at the guy that he wants to be. And the biggest knocks that people will have on Russell Wilson will be this. People like, his personality, this and that or whatever. DJ, there are not many guys that throw 26 touchdowns and have 8 interceptions. Mm-hmm. His production last year was better than the room that the Pittsburgh Steelers have. So if Justin Fields gets an opportunity to learn behind Russell Wilson where, hey, how can I manage the game? How can I take care of the ball? How can I insert my athleticism when needed? He's going to be a much better player down the line. That's why I agree with it. And then finally, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has shown that he can take different personalities at the quarterback position and work with them. Ben Roethlisberger's different than Mason Rudolph, who's different than Joshua Dobbs, who's different than Kenny Pickett. He's worked with all those guys. He has a unique ability to allow guys to be themselves while playing within the framework of the team. I think is good for him. And so from the Pittsburgh vantage point, man, this is low risk, high reward if it works out. For the Bears, it's a little different because it's not what everyone on the outside thought that they would get. And maybe those expectations were lofty, but once the quarterback market kind of crystallized, when Mac Jones, a first-round pick, goes for a six-rounder, you know you're not getting much. And people are talking about Trey Lance or whatever. Hey, you can't compare similar deals because it's different. Mac Jones going for a six-round pick, that to me kind of set the stage for what Justin Fields was eventually going to go for.
Yeah, and Trey Lance got traded a year before. So there's more years before you get to a fifth-year option decision, which means he has more value. That fifth-year option, what happened? What killed him? And I should have done a better job of explaining this and seeing this coming, in that the Sam Darnold wasn't the North Star for the compensation. That was the warning sign for the compensation. Sam Darnold got you a 2, a 4, and a 6. They immediately had to pick up his fifth year option. It blew up. And the rest of the teams around the league looked at that and said, I'm not going to trade for a quarterback where I have to make a decision on his fifth-year option, sight unseen, without him being in my building, and commit what is a very large number to someone like that who hasn't worked out in their previous place. I'm not giving you that much compensation. That's too much risk for me to take on. This is more than likely going to be a one-year rental. The fifth-year option's not going to be picked up, which leads me to the other point of this. Well, there's a lot of layers to it from the Chicago side of things. This was the market. They should have got more. They didn't, okay? This is what the market was. This is what it is. They had no option here. They had to get this done. And people say, well, if you held him and then got into training camp and someone got hurt, maybe the pick would be better. At the end of the day, he would still be on a one-year contract. A team would not have a fifth-year option. What is the ceiling for that? Your starter goes down. First of all, a lot of these teams had options to go get him as their backup right now and didn't want to do it. So if you're talking about what is the value increase, okay, you went from a 6, it turns into a 4. I would say the ceiling would be a 3. So maybe if you held on to him till training camp, you upgrade from a 4th-round pick to a 3rd-round pick. And what was the cost of that? The cost is that you made Caleb Williams walk into a chaotic environment where you potentially have a split locker room as he enters into the NFL. When the whole organization's future hinges on that one guy, that is not a smart business move. You do not do that. You roll out the red carpet, and you can see it by what they've done. DeAndre Swift, come on in. Keenan Allen, come on in. Gerald Everett, I believe, they signed him as well. We're going to load this thing up, and we're going to see that Caleb Williams gets off to a great start. We are going to clear the brush for him. Mm-hmm. We are not going to have any distractions. That would be, in my opinion, would be idiotic and malpractice as a general manager if you had Justin Fields on the roster when you bring Caleb Williams into the building.
So look, that completely makes sense from a business standpoint. Like, hey, I want to set it up. I want to make sure that my quarterback, Caleb Williams, has the best opportunity to succeed. The other part of this is, DJ, as much as we want to make this about the business and about like, hey, winning the trade and everyone believes that the league is transactional, it's really transformational because it's a relationship business. Justin Fields did a lot of good stuff in Chicago for that staff, for the general manager, the president.
He universally loved him in the building.
And because of what he did, because look, he had to deal with the slings and arrows the entire year, people speculating, are you going to be here or not? And I would say he was a consummate professional in terms of how he handled it, the performance that he put on the field, what he was able to do, all those things. He ingratiated himself to the locker room. Listen to how his teammates, like, just revere him as a player and as a dude. When you have that, DJ, sometimes you take the L on the trade to do right by that, because it's not only how you treat Justin Fields, it's how the locker room looks at how you treated him. Yeah, because they treated him with class and dignity and respect, allowing him to go to a situation that's best for him, the rest of the locker room can be like, hey, we may or may not disagree, but man, Ryan Poles did right by him. I can get down with that kind of like relationship. I'm okay with that. That matters more than the other stuff. So yeah, you might have lost a round value or whatever, but I think what they did is they did right by Fields and they did right by the locker room. And I think it pays it forward as this team continues to make moves. Maybe they become a more attractive spot just because of the way that they treated Justin Fields.
you brought up a great point, and I want to make sure that that doesn't get confused with what I'm saying on this. Fields did everything right. And because he did everything right, he's beloved in that building, which means he has sponsors. He has people that want him to be the guy because they love the guy. They respect his work ethic. They respect what he's endured there. I'm not putting any of that on Fields. I'm saying as a team builder, you don't want a divided group. You don't want loyalties divided. And by doing this now, as opposed to, you could say, well, we could at least take it to the draft. Okay, well, now you're going to give this team 1 week to get it out of their minds that Justin Fields is not our guy, and now this new guy, I have 1 week to get my mind there. You want more runway than that, man. You do this now, and the guys, you even see some of the tweets like, hey, business is business. We love them. Now you have a whole time. I'm comfortable with the fact of who this is. There's been time, a cooling off period or what have you. Mm-hmm. And you're happy for Justin. But we have our new guy coming in. And it's 100% of us are going to be behind the new guy because we've had all this time to get used to it.
DJ, that's such an important thing. And look, Ryan Poles dealt with it head on. Hey, by making the move now, we have over a month to talk about it. We can get comfortable. The guys are coming in the building in April to start off-season workouts. Everyone knows, okay, look, we know Justin's not here. His locker's clean. We don't have to deal with that. We know someone's coming in. It gives the team an opportunity to get excited about the possibility of what Caleb Williams could bring. And it makes sense. Everyone is comfortable in those things. And now that business is done, it is about looking forward. It's about building the team to make sure that Caleb Williams is comfortable. The next line of business, they have to figure out who is going to be the right backup quarterback for them. Is it whoever you already have on the roster? Do you need to bring somebody in? To me, that's what it's about. Who is going to be, if you like to go this route, who's going to be the mentor or who's going to be the nice guy to assist Caleb Williams in his development as he gets ready to be a rookie starter?
Yep. No, it's a good point and something to keep an eye on. All right. We went heavy on that because it was huge news and no question. We mentioned Keenan Allen. That trade taking place as well to help support what we assume will be Caleb Williams there with the number one overall pick. The Jets, they signed Tyron Smith, which is going to get us to an interesting move in my mock draft. I'll just tease it like that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll jump into that mock right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All right, Buck, I told you at the top, I debated of whether just to kind of go chalky. I normally don't do trades and mock drafts till the very end.
What fun is that? Let's go for the chaos. Let's begin the conversation. Let's have some of these things, because as much as we've gotten comfortable seeing the, I would say, the chalk mock drafts where everyone puts the same three guys at the top of the board, they go in the same order and those things, we don't know if that's how teams really feel. So let's switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, I decided to have a little fun here. So we started off Caleb Williams first, the Chicago Bears. Not a surprise there. If you've listened to the early part of the podcast, you know what we're thinking there. Drake May to Washington. Again, I keep saying Drake May or Jaden Daniels here. Mm-hmm. To me, the trade of Sam Howell actually pointed me more in the direction of Drake May. So that's the dots that I'm connecting. They're like best friends. It would have been awkward to have both those guys in the room together competing for that job. So I took it as that as a sign of Drake, not as a sign of Jaden. Maybe that's flawed logic, but that's how I looked at it.
No, I just think they went to see golf together somewhere on a private jet, like Drake and Sam Howell. That absolutely would have been weird. It'd have been like going in reverse. So I can see that. That makes sense.
So there I've got it. The three quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Now, the Minnesota Vikings make that trade to get an extra first round pick. Why did they do that? Right. Ooh. I mean, you could say, well, they want to just sit at 11 and take a quarterback and whoever falls, and then 23, maybe they get another starter. Maybe that 23, maybe they're going to trade that for the corner from Kansas City. You know, maybe that's for Snead. To me, it looks like a trade up for a quarterback. And I think they're going to effort. I think they're going to try like crazy. I think the connection with them and Drake May, we've referenced it on here before. There are many, and that makes a lot of sense. I don't know that they can get there to the first three picks. So if they can't get there, you're like, well, I don't want to sit here at 11 and get the fifth quarterback. I want at least guarantee that I get my fourth quarterback. So I had them trading. I had them going from 11 to 4, which was a swap of some picks. Let me give you what that looked like here, because I actually put in the the numbers.
Look at you doing the research. You're not even doing regular mock draft stuff. You're not just making it up like, I don't know, whatever it takes to get there. But yeah, we're just going to put Minnesota at 4.
So this is what it was. You're Arizona. Arizona gives up pick 4, pick 90, and 138. So 4, 90, 138. I think that's what, like a 3 and a 5 or something? And then they get back 11 and 23. That's what the chart says. So now Arizona, you're left. Remember, they still have pick 27. So they now have pick 11, 23, and 27 for a team in a rebuild. Would have looked great to have Marvin Harrison there. They could easily stick and pick. We've done that a bunch in these mocks, but why not? Let's have some fun. They make the trade. Minnesota comes up and takes JJ McCarthy with the 4th pick. Buck.
Ooh, DJ.
Now quarterback. 4 quarterbacks.
I mean, look, you've upset the apple cart a little bit, because we've talked about these quarterbacks, and it's always been the big 3. But now you're putting J.J. McCarthy in with the big 4. It coincides with Lance Z going on Twitter yesterday and absolutely telling people that, hey, you better get comfortable with J.J. McCarthy being mentioned with these guys, because he might be in the top 3 when
it's love in the streets. There's love a lot of love in the streets for J.J. McCarthy.
And so J.J. McCarthy gets into the conversation. Now we have 4 quarterbacks come off off the board right away. That would make for great TV. And look, it's reasonable to expect that, because the need at quarterback this year is so much different than in previous years. These teams that we're talking about at the top of the board, I mean, they almost need to draft a quarterback just to be able to put the ball down and play when it comes to week 1.
No doubt. Now we get crazy. So we've had one trade, and then I just got in a crazy mood and said, you know what, let's go back-to-back trades. This will anger Charger fans. I call the games. I understand what they want. I appreciate what they want. And I could even say I want the same thing. I would love for them to be sitting here with the 5th pick. The top 4 picks are all quarterbacks. You've got your choice of wideouts to replace Keenan Allen and Mike Williams that have just left. You could sit right here and take Marvin Harrison Jr., and you've got a number 1 dude. And I can get on board with that. However, I look at how Jim Harbaugh thinks and how he believes in building a football team, and you build the foundation before you build anything else. And all we've heard from Greg Roman getting hired, from Jim Harbaugh's press conference, from Joe Ortiz's comments, we are going to protect Justin Herbert, and we are going to run the football much better than it's been run here. So with that being said, you see a couple wideouts go out the door. I look at this draft as very deep at wide receiver. So I think they could be saying, man, we would love to have Marvin Harrison Jr. here, but There are a lot of wideouts in this draft, and we are going to build the foundation first. And the phone just rang, and it's Joe Ortiz, one of his best friends, and Joe Douglas from the New York Jets, worked together for 20 years. And he's all in. Joe Douglas has signed 33-year-old Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, older tackle on the other side. They went out and got John Simpson to play guard. Mm-hmm. Now, you can say maybe this is a house of cards with the age of these offensive linemen, but this is a 40-year-old quarterback. They are all in to win one in the next 2 years. So why not be bold? And do you think that they would have any issues parting with next year's second-round pick, which would be the cost? So you go from 10 to 5 as the Jets. You trade next year's second-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick this year because that was Rodgers' deal. And the Jets go up and they pair their wide receiver, Garrett Wilson, with his former teammate and Marvin Harrison Jr. with the 5th pick.
Okay, we don't have sound effects on the pod, but that would be like fireworks, everything going off. Here's why it would be a sensible move for the New York Jets. If you're Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, you know this is it. I don't really care about what happens this year. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to push it in. We got all the older guys on the offensive line. I'm hanging on a 40-year-old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with guns a-blazing. Let's see if we can just put it together, because if I bring in a young offensive tackle, there's no guarantee that he's going to play at a high level. We take Tyron Smith. Let's get another playmaker to go opposite Garrett Wilson so they can't contend consistently double-team Garrett Wilson. And let's see if we can just light up the scoreboard. Defensively, we're good enough.
They're good.
Offensively, we got to be able to manufacture it. And so if I am Joe Douglas, I don't care. Because after this year, I'm going to have to reset it anyway, just given the age of my best players. I might as well go all out and see if I can put together the best offense to give us a chance to get into the postseason.
So you'd have Breece Hall in the backfield. You'd have Garrett Wilson. You'd have Marvin Harrison Jr. You're cooking with gas a little bit in terms of the athleticism of your skill dudes.
And if you can stay healthy enough up front, just up front, if they can just keep a fortress in front of Aaron Rodgers and allow him just to deal from the pocket, you know he'll make the offense right. He's done it for years in Green Bay. You give him two playmakers, Wilson and Harrison, they'll find a way to score points.
All right, so there's the shock and awe portion of the draft. I'll pick up the speed here. The Giants, who I could see, you know, they could be in a position to get up to 4, which would be a better, could be a better landing spot there if you're the Cardinals, because you'd only have to go back to 6. So I would keep an eye on that. But this one, I have him staying there, taking Malik Nabers, who I posted the other day that I thought he could end up being the first wideout taken. It wouldn't shock me. I've talked to a couple teams, and they're sky high on Malik Nabers, rightfully so, because of how explosive he is. I have Joe Alt, tackle, going to the Tennessee Titans. Big need there. The Atlanta Falcons, they've taken care of the offense with Kirk Cousins and some of their additions on that side of the ball. Dallas Turner makes a lot of sense there. Chicago, how about this one? I've got him going Caleb Williams at 1. We know all the players they've brought in. You've got DJ Moore. You've got Keenan Allen. But, Buck, how many times have we seen it in history? When you put your you-know-what's on the line and you make a bold decision at quarterback, which we can say however bold it was, they moved on from Justin Fields. They've committed to Caleb Williams. They've built this thing up. And you can say, okay, the defense, we could use an edge rusher. But you know what? Why not just go get one more dude? I want to ensure that this rookie quarterback plays well and Rome Odunze is staring me right in the face. How about that trio of wideouts for him to throw to?
Okay, it's great. It wouldn't be unprecedented, because I think about the Cincinnati Bengals and what they were able to do around Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, 3 big-time playmakers to allow Joe Burrow to do what he does best, which is play fast-break basketball. And Caleb Williams, you have a similar player in terms of how they want to play, not stylistically, but how they want to play. You want to put the ball in the hands of Caleb Williams. You don't want him to be the guy that's handing it off all the time. You want to throw it. And the only way that you're going to be able to throw it effectively is you got to have guys that can win one-on-ones. That trio that you talk about trotting out with the Bears with Rome Odunze joining Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, good luck trying to figure out who you're going to double team and who you're going to leave isolated.
And those are all, you know, the thing about those three guys, they're all incredibly smart players. So very smart. They've got outstanding hands. So you talk about having dependability, reliability around a young quarterback. I think that would be a fun trifecta there for the Chicago Bears. And then the Chargers go back to 10. Again, the fans will be upset. But Talisi Fuaga, that feels like a foundational piece to me. And he would be, you know, you could slot him in at right guard year one. He kicks out to right tackle. Then, you know, that's his position. He's a right tackle. But you've got your tackles set now. I would imagine, especially with some of the savings that they had with the Keenan Allen thing, I believe, I'm pretty sure that Slater's due for an extension. Like, you can do that deal now. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that's coming before too long. You could have your bookend set up for Justin Herbert for the next decade with those two guys. And that feels more like, hey, we can build this strength up. We're going to be able to run the ball. We're going to protect Justin. And wide receivers, hey, we know we need them. But there's a lot more picks in this draft. And I've also added a second rounder next year, which if the Jets for some reason imploded, might be a pretty good pick.
For anyone who is wondering why the Chargers wouldn't add more firepower around Justin Herbert, just remember, Jim Harbaugh had Andrew Luck at his best. And what did they do with the football at Stanford? They ran the ball and allowed the game to be very easy for Andrew Luck. He is going to take a similar path with Justin Herbert. Just because you have a franchise caliber, an elite caliber quarterback, doesn't mean that you want him to throw it 40 times a game. It is about balancing out, making the game easy for Justin Herbert so his effectiveness and efficiency goes up. That's why an offensive tackle at this point makes a lot of sense for the Chargers.
I would also remind people, too, that I know he missed some time last year, but Josh Palmer is a really good player. And he's another one I would think that would probably have a chance to get extended here with some of the newfound money they have there. All right, so there's the top 10. Shook it up a little bit. Now we get I'll go a little faster here as we go through. Pick 11. I've got the Arizona Cardinals. After trading down from 4, they get Jared Verse, address that defensive front. That's why I went that direction. The Denver Broncos, I want Brock Bowers here, and I know that's not a big need for them. They have guys. They have some solid tight ends, Greg Dulcich being a young one that's talented there. The reason I went with that, Buck, is I thought about the playbook in the offense run by Sean Payton. Think about the offense running through Michael Thomas in the slot. Think about all the balls he was able to catch, the matchups they were able to find. Brock Bowers has a TE next to his name, but I'm running the exact same plays as I ran with Mike Thomas, and I'm running them with Brock Bowers split out in the slot right there.
Yeah, because the Denver Broncos are really compromised when it comes to the money due to the Russell Wilson situation. They may have to play differently. They may have to line up in 12 personnel. They don't have the wideouts to be able to do all the stuff that he used to do in New Orleans. It may give them a different way to play to allow Jarrett Stidham to play really well. Maybe a little more conservative, a little more, I would say, maybe old school.
You could put Brock Bowers in the backfield and pitch it to him if you want to as well. You lose him as a lead blocker in the backfield. You can do a lot of creative stuff with that dude.
I mean, he's a big time player, man. He's one of the best players. We talk about him being a top five player in this draft, and we're just basing on talent and potential. He's worthy of being in that conversation. If he goes to the Broncos at 12, it's a great value for them, and it gives Sean Payton a lot of flexibility in terms of how he wants to set up his offense.
All right, pick 13. Here we go. The Raiders select Michael Penix Jr. I don't feel like the Gardner Minshew move is a long-term one, Buck. I feel like that is a cover. I think gives you a little draft cover there if you want to take a quarterback. You don't have people trying to jump in front of you because you got Aiden O'Connell. You've got Gardner Minshew. You paid a decent amount of money to. Maybe they're not a quarterback team. Maybe we don't need to get in front of the Raiders if we want a guy. And then, bam, here they go, Michael Penix.
Oh, right now you upset the apple cart. You have upset the apple cart because no one has talked about Michael Penix. We've gone the last month without people talking about Michael Penix. In a Raiders uniform, here's where it works. And you have to understand the history of the Raiders. The Raiders are a run-heavy, push-the-ball-down-the-field team going all the way back to the great days of the late Al Davis. They want to run it. They want to throw it over the top of the defense. DJ, I think you would agree with me. I don't know if there's a better deep ball thrower in this draft than Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. When you watch the Washington Huskies play all year, it was bombs away. And if he is protected, he can spin it like the best of them. The issue that you have with him, the four season-ending injuries, and he doesn't necessarily have the mobility or the athleticism of the other guys. But if they build a fortress in front of him, there are a few guys that can attack, like Michael Penix can from the pocket.
Yeah, that was a fun one to me. I just thought it'd be a fun fit. I also, let me pull up the numbers here. I was going to pull this one up. Let's see. He had a conference championship game there, right? Which was against Oregon, and he was 34-31 win. He threw for 319 yards, completed 69% of his passes. Not a bad day there. So he has a little experience playing that building. Maybe Mark Davis was there to watch that and took it in and enjoyed it. But that was a fun one there. Now we keep it rolling here. Olufoshinu, look, it hasn't worked out for Penning at left tackle for the Saints. They need to get one. Fashanu is a true left tackle. Quinyon Mitchell, he's the first corner to go off the board here to the Colts. Troy Faitanu to the Seattle Seahawks, which, by the way, I think there's teams that look at him and say he could be a center. He's played left. Mm-hmm. He's played left tackle, played it well. He's got really long arms. He would slot in at guard for Seattle, but keep an eye on him maybe as somebody that could end up being a center eventually. Terrion Arnold to your Jags. Go ahead.
Yeah, offensive coordinator also knows him well. Remember,
Grubb came over from there.
Grubb came over, knows him well, so that certainly can add some value to it.
No question. Terrion Arnold to your Jags. They get someone who can play any of the spots there in the secondary. You get J.C. Latham, big mm-hmm. tackle to the Bengals. Liatu Latu to the Rams. Again, I don't know. I haven't heard yet on the medicals with him, how he came through mm-hmm. the combine, but a legitimate pass rusher there on the edge. Everybody, I think, is going to see Aaron Donald left, and they're going to think, okay, they go defensive mm-hmm. tackle here. Remember, Kobe Turner played really well for them last year as a rookie, was in the mix for the rookie of the year. So they're okay inside. I think getting another edge rusher would be big. Pittsburgh at 20. Again, you make the quarterback decisions. I think this is a pick to help the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You bookend Tyler Guyton here with last year's first-round pick and Broderick Jones.
So, look, really interesting. The Pittsburgh Steelers going to get another tackle. You see what Broderick Jones was able to do. Remember, they took it slow with Broderick Jones in terms of putting him in the lineup, but he certainly helped mm-hmm. them. They're getting back to running the football. Guyton is an intriguing athlete, raw a little bit, but he has a lot of potential. And then going back to your Rams pick, Latu coming off the edge, the Rams are going to have to be able to generate pass rush in a different thing. Before, you just able so dependent on Aaron Donald to kind of set it up. But remember, you talk about their young guys stepping in, Brian Young stepping in, also being a player. Having someone opposite him should help them be able to get after it.
Yeah, no doubt. Graham Barton to the Dolphins can play really any of the five spots along that offensive line, would fill one of those interior spots. The Eagles need a corner. Nate Wiggins, who's a little bit polarizing, but man, he's, again, 4.2 speed. He's really a good cover guy. You know, we've talked about him before. Just want to see him be a little more urgent when it comes to playing the run. Brian Thomas Jr. to the Cardinals. I'm going to rip through these next few picks. I want to go back to the Cardinals. Jackson Powers Johnson, a big center to the Cowboys. Think about Frederick back in the day, picked in this area of the first round, which was a big hit for the Cowboys for all those years. Amarius Mims, a big tackle to Green Bay. Darius Robinson, a very athletic, versatile defensive lineman. He goes to the Bucs. And then Byron Murphy, a DT, goes to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals traded out of 4. They got 11 and 23. They own 27 already. So they come out of the first round. Mind you, Buck, you've got a defensive head coach, right? So you've got a defensive head coach who had to watch a very talent-deprived group last year. And now you get to watch this and say, okay, I've got Jared Verse coming off the edge. I've got Byron Murphy lining up next to him. I've got arguably the best interior rusher and the best outside rusher in the draft class I've added to my mix. And at the cost of giving up Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, but in a deep wide receiver draft, I got Brian Thomas Jr., who is dynamic and explosive at 23.
Yeah, one of the more gifted pass catchers in the draft. Look, we've seen this. Look, it hasn't been a lock that the number one receiver in the last couple of drafts has been the guy. Like, who's to say that Brian Thomas can't give you, like, significant production? But you talk about rebuilding this defense. Monty Austin Ford being able to get Jared Verse and Brian Murphy to upgrade a defense that has to compete against some stellar teams in the NFC West. I kind of like the moves.
Yeah, no doubt. So there's what we have there going to the Cardinals. We finish up the mock draft. I've got Johnny Newton going to the Bills. I've got Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner, going to the Lions. I've got Cooper DeJean going to the Ravens. What a Ravens pick, right? A really talented, versatile player.
They love Iowa players.
Yeah, think about Linderbaum. You go all the way back to Marshall Yonda. They've had a nice connection Geno there
Stone.
With Iowa.
Geno Stone.
Yeah, Geno Stone's another one.
I mean, they've had a lot of success with Iowa guys.
I've got the Niners taking Chop Robinson, edge rusher. And I know, I know they brought in Floyd, but again, you roll him through there with Chris Kocurek. You get another rusher to throw into the mix. And I've got KC taking Adonai Mitchell, who I think talent-wise is as talented as anybody in this entire class.
Yeah, super talented playmaker. The Kansas City Chiefs obviously want to upgrade the wide receiver core. They let MVS go. They bring in Hollywood Brown. They want to continue to add around that. You have Rashee Rice coming back. But A.D. Mitchell is, look, man, he's a freak show. Big-time playmaker, soft hands, does a lot of good things, particularly after the catch. You can see where stylistically he blends in with what they're trying to do on the perimeter. I like that pick. You know, you mixed it up a little bit. You threw some trades in, which is not your style. We got some names in some different spots. But let's be honest, DJ, these mock drafts are supposed to be conversation starters. It's about looking at the draft in a different dimension. It's not just, hey, let's pick and do these things. Let's play a little chess with it. Can you make a move at the top that allows you to do things at the bottom? Look at what you did with the Cardinals. Look at the moves that you made with some of the other things when it came to the Jets and the Chargers swapping. It's a conversation starter. I can't wait for it to hit the Twitter streets because the buzz will be out there for sure.
Yeah. By the way, mentions off. That's the key to every mock draft. No, look, it's fun. I saw somebody replied when I said that I was going to choose chaos. They said that I was going to risk my credibility with a mock draft not being realistic. I wanted so bad to write him back and go, "Hey pal, like no mock draft ever written is realistic, okay?
You don't know
what all 32 teams are going to do. Nobody on this planet knows. People in those buildings don't know what they're going to do at this point in time. It's about trying to logically find scenarios that could exist and exploring those and having those conversations. That's what mock drafts are for. And that's why they do. He's like, this is clickbait. I'm like, dude, I could put the names of 32 farm animals in a mock draft and it would get clicks. You don't need to do anything for clickbait with mock drafts. They are going to get attention. They're going to get clicks no matter who you put in those. So, That's not the purpose. The purpose is to just explore different scenarios and then have a discussion based off of those scenarios.
No, it's fun. That's what these things are supposed to be for. And as we continue to get into it, a lot of what we talk about would be mock drafts. But as you said it, I've said it, what you really think about a player, top 50. What I think about a player, top 5 lists and things that we do when we break down scouting reports. These things are fun exercises, but they're not realistic because no one is privy to what all 32 boards are like. These are what we're trying to project based on what we know about the people picking the players and what the teams have traditionally done, given their preferences for certain types of players in the past.
No doubt. All right. Well, there you go. That's it. That's the show for today. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. We'll be back another episode this week. We will have Caleb Williams Pro Day on the way. So I have a chance to break that down for you as we get later into the week. Until then, I hope you guys have a wonderful time, wonderful week. Stay safe. Enjoy the NCAA tournament as it's coming up. We'll see what that looks like. Tar Heels, Buck, we feeling confident we get a 1 seed there?
Yeah, we got a 1 seed, but man, who knows, man? The tournament is the most unpredictable thing that you can find. The pressure is different when it becomes a single elimination tournament. Hopefully, my Tar Heels can just get through the first weekend and have an opportunity to play the second weekend.
There you go. We'll be on the lookout for the Tar Heels for Bucky, see how those guys do as well. All right, we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes Gold Class Car Wash for a showroom shine.
Get in zone.
And what about my tires?
Just spray the included Hot Shine tire coating and you're all set.
Get in zone.
The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.